for lunch. Agenda item six, this is the Army Corps of Engineers Lower Granite Dam Fish Passage, including adult salmonoid trapping and smolt out migration. This is a briefing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. While we're getting the presentation set up, I provide a little bit of context. So we certainly would be remiss to be in Southeast Washington and here in Clarkston and not have some Snake River items on the agenda. And so
this topic.
Hi.
Now you're a manly man.
Yes. So this first topic before lunch, and the first topic that we'll have after lunch, we wanted to bring a focus to Snake River issues.
And the origin of this specific topic regarding the Corps' work and coordinated efforts with others to provide passage, this case, Lower Granite, we may hear about some of the other four Lower Snake Dams as well. But the origin of this was the potential that came from Commissioner Holtzmiller about his interest in potentially being able to get on site at Lower Granite. He was familiar with the work here, was extremely impressed with the infrastructure associated with both providing passage for adults upstream as well as smolts downstream. And so once we realized that logistics were going to be very difficult to accommodate that, I was able to get a hold of Elizabeth Holdren from the Corps of Engineers, and her work partner is Steve Hampton here today, and they are going to co-present on the Lower Granite Dam facility and ongoing work by the Corps of Engineers and others associated with fish passage. We'll follow that up with a very brief presentation from Department of Fish and Wildlife Snake River Lab Unit Leader Joe Bumgarner, who will provide some additional context about WDFW's role in providing fish passage on the Columbia. So, Elizabeth and Stephen, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So, thanks for having us here and letting us present this information to you. So, the Lower Granite is part of the Walla Walla District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and of course, as assigned by the United States Congress, so we are regulated by them. So we look at our missions is fish passage, hydropower, navigation, recreation, and wildlife. So there's a lot of things going on that we look at day to day with each of these issues. So if you look at this map, you can look at the Columbia River Basin. You can see the different dams around this basin itself. The red dots are Corps-owned facilities. You can see where Lower Granite is there on the Lower Snake. Then, of course, going down Little Goose and so on. So right there is where we'll be talking about as far as our facility. So features that we have at the four Lower Snake River dams, we have six generating units that we use to produce hydropower at our facility. We have eight spill bays that we can use to release water depending on needs that we have coming down. As was talked earlier, there's a pretty high flow year this year. I know we've seen some pretty significant flows at our facility. So we have the navigational locks. You know, a lot of different industries and people use these locks. It's pretty important getting a lot of grain and different things up and down these rivers. They're used pretty heavily. So we have our adult fish ladders. This is going to be the way the adults get past these facilities. Lower Granite, our ladder, we have one. Some facilities actually have two ladders. We have one that's on the south shore of our facility that allows the fish to get through. The first part beyond this, I'll be talking about juvenile fish passage and collection. And then the adult side, the adult trap is part of this ladder. It's kind of an offshoot from that, and we have some pictures, and we'll kind of go into that a little bit and what that looks like. Okay, and then our juvenile fish facilities, we look at things that we work with day to day. We have bypass, we have collection, and then we have condition sampling that go on at these different facilities. So Lower Granite Dam, you can see it there on the right. We also have Little Goose, Lower Monumental, and then Ice Harbor Dam are the four dams on the Lower Snake. They are all Corps-owned facilities. And like I said, our headquarters for our district is there in Walla Walla. So juvenile passage, we have multiple routes that juveniles can get through our facility. You have spill. One of the structures that we have installed is the RSW, or the removable spillway weir. And I have some pictures. I'll show that and get into a little more detail there that helps those juveniles pass downstream. The turbines, some juveniles do pass through the turbines as they are operating. We have the juvenile bypass system, and you can see that arrow kind of gives you a general direction of how those fish are regulated and moved down to our facility. And then down below there is our juvenile facility. So there's our spill bays. On the far right, you have where the removable spillway weir is located. And you can see the other ones are more of a traditional spill pattern. So there would be the location of the RSW. So traditional spill, you can see where the passage route is. Those fish actually have to sound down a certain number of feet to get to where that water is flowing through. And with juveniles, they traditionally migrate in the upper part of the water column. And so what the RSW allows us, if you look at this, is it is designed to pull water from that upper part of the water column where the juveniles traditionally will migrate. So it is a lower energy needed for that. They don't have to sound down and go through that spill. They can migrate where they typically do, and that will allow them to go through that spill in a safer, more efficient manner. You can see the flow coming out of that is a good smooth flow, and we have a good success rate as far as passage through that. And so there's a traditional spill view of that. Oh, I think I may have gone backwards, sorry. Okay, so turbine passage, you can see the part of the turbine where the blades are. There's a picture of that. You can see where the water flow comes in. It goes through our wicket gates, and then that flow actually causes that turbine, those blades, to move, and it spins through. I had some comments from local citizens, oh, well, it acts as a blender. And I said, well, no, think of a blender. A blender spins and moves water. With the turbine, the water actually moves the blades itself, so you don't have that same effect. And they were like, oh, I never thought of it that way. So the fish going through, they don't experience the shear forces you would think of in a blender. You know, we know what a blender does to things. Turbines do not act that way. So that was an interesting question from somebody in the public when I talked to them. Okay, so our juvenile passage, we have gatewell slots where we have screens that help divert fish up into those slots, and that allows them to come into our bypass system, and then that brings those fish down through to our facility. And you can see the picture on the right in the circle where it has that yellow looking kind of screen, and those elevate up, and that helps the fish find their way up into that slot and keeps more fish. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was going to wait until you were finished, but do you understand mortality associated with each of these passages? Is that known?
Yeah, so they did, the last study they did at Lower Granite, it was in 2006, and in 2007, I think, sub-yearlings, but so we have some slides on that, but I don't really think it's really reliable. We're probably going to do a new one after we're done with our upgrade, or we will do a new study for survival. We typically meet our biological opinion objective as far as survival, but there is definitely mortality associated with dam passage.
So you can see the structure, how this is set up, and that diverts the fish down through our facility, and that's where we can collect fish for the transport, and we can also bypass them back to the river and get them past the turbines so they don't have to go through those areas. So facility collection, we have a secondary bypass, which allows us to fish come through our system, be bypassed around the turbines, and what we call an outfall pipe, where they are diverted back towards the middle of the river, where it's been determined that's a safer area for them to be diverted back to, is closer to shore. It helps to reduce with avian predation, piscivorous fish predation, and so on those fish. We also have a sample that we collect each day, And that'll allow us to determine, you know, the size of the fish that are we're getting, quality, descaling, things like that. We can determine from that sample that we have each day. It also allows us to get a good estimate of how many fish are actually coming through our facility on a day-to-day basis. So we have pit tag interrogation, and we have multiple pit tag arrays through our facility that can pull that information out. I know a lot of agencies use that to see where their fish go. We also, one of the big things we do, especially right now this time of year, is collection for transport. We have raceways that we can hold the fish in. We can also direct load to the barges if that's deemed the best method. And then later in the year when numbers begin to get lower, we actually use semi-trailers typically, and we will truck fish downriver using those instead of the barges. And there is different research that goes on at our facility. I know USGS is one agency that comes out sometimes and they get permits for specific research. Idaho Fish and Game is there collecting some data also. So we have different agencies that do that are able to utilize our facility for their research.
So really quick on bypass, there's also a primary bypass. At Lower Granite, we haven't been using primary bypass because the way that that facility is designed, there's a dewatering screen right before you go into the facility. And I don't think it's a very friendly way to bypass fish. So we changed to secondary bypass because it seems to reduce the number of fish that have issues or get, they basically get tired because there's a pool and the water rolls and the fish fight it. So we decided to change our operation. But all the other facilities on the Lower Snake and Lower Columbia, they're in primary bypass.
Have you ever used the whoosh?
The whoosh?
Yes.
Yeah. The terminology or what? Yeah.
The tube, yeah.
No, we don't use the tubes. Our facilities are actually designed, they're pretty much run of the river. Fish just kind of roll through them. I really do recommend y'all come out there. We've had Idaho State come out, and I'd be happy to give you guys a tour.
Have you seen the whoosh?
No, I have not looked at the whoosh, but I've heard about the whoosh.
That's pretty cool. They go flying.
Yeah. I don't know. Flying fish is scary, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Go ahead.
So we were talking about the survival estimates and usage of the different ways that the juveniles can get through our facility. So we have spillway passage, roughly 29.2% of the migrating juveniles use that method to get, or that route, through our facility. Our RSW passage is 29.7%, and that was that structure in our first spillway. Turbine passage is 12%, and then bypass passage is 29.2%. Now, looking at survival, and these numbers are based off of 2006 data, so juvenile bypass survival, we had 96.6% survival rate. Turbine survival is 87.5. The RSW survival is 98.2. Spill survival is 97.6%. And then our juvenile transport survival, we're looking at 98% survival rate there. And it says over 50% of all yearling Chinook are transported to the ocean. And so our biop performance standard is 96%, and in 2006, the data we had, overall dam survival was 96.7%. So we were above the standard that they had for us there. And this is for yearling Chinook is what we're specifically talking about here. Next one, we have steelhead passage. You see the numbers do change a little bit. Spillway passage, 28.8%. RSW, 26.5%. Turbine passage, 6.05, a little bit lower percentage there. And bypass passage, 38.7%. Survival, juvenile bypass, 97.1. Turbine survival, 87.7. RSW survival, 97.5. And spill survival, 98.7. Juvenile transport survival, 98%. Our biop standard was 96%. And overall dam survival for our steelhead was 96.7%. Sub-yearling Chinook passage, we're looking at spill passage of 16%, RSW 57.6%, turbine passage 27.7%, and bypass passage of 17%. Our juvenile bypass survival rate is 85.2, turbine survival 85.1, RSW survival 92%, spill survival 75%, and the transport survival is 98%. Our buyout standard is a little bit lower, is at 93%, and overall in 2007, actually data, the dam was at 88.1%. Was our overall survival then.
Yeah. And there again, living fairly close to this, I know you guys are always working on these dams, and you said you're going back to the 2006 study. You're anticipating that you're going to be raising these levels.
Yeah, definitely. So there's been a lot of operational changes. During this time period, they tried to figure out different ways that we operate our turbine units, our spill. RSW is in place in 2001, but after that was in place, we just keep improving. So, and operational changes throughout the season too. So it's an adaptive management thing. So regionally, a bunch of people get together and we make changes based on what's going on in the river at the time. So I really believe that our survival through the dam is going to be higher than it is here. So that's our goal.
Dave.
Also, I understand you're doing some work on water temperatures because these reservoirs can, you know, seem to, we get elevated water temperatures because of these structures, and you're working with methods of drawing through the lower water columns to get colder water for fish passage. Am I explaining that properly?
Yeah, so actually I was up at Dorshack this week, which is why I'm having him help me present, because I didn't get very prepared for this because I wasn't expecting to be there. But anyways, we have a flow augmentation program. So we spill water from Dorshack. And when we spill that water, basically the colder water is heavier than the warmer water. Mm-hmm. And so it sinks to the bottom. And at Lower Granite, you get a significant stratification of temperature. Mm-hmm. And as that water is coming down, we don't really have the benefit of mixing like the projects downstream from us. So what we came up with was a temperature control system for the adult fish ladder, which also benefits the adult trap. And we'll talk a little bit about that when we get into adult passage.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the sampling that we have going on at our juvenile facility each day. These are some of the things that occur during that. We do condition sampling. What is the condition of those fish as they come through our system? Descaling, weights, things like that are looked at. Species composition, so we break it down, yearling, chinook, sub-yearling, chinook, steelhead, coho, sockeye, things like that coming through. What is our composition as the year progresses? What are we seeing? You transport data, so we use some of the data they give us to help with the transport. How many fish are we actually sending downriver? We know the condition of the fish in a general way of what we're looking at. So Pacific States, they have a gas bubble trauma monitoring, and they'll take a small sample of the fish coming through our facility, and they look for gas bubble trauma. Are we seeing, you know, any signs of that, and they can help monitor that. And I know different facilities down the Snake into Columbia also monitor that so they can see how these hydropower facilities are the gas levels increasing. Are we seeing some effects on the fish from this?
So right now, because we have a high flow year, we're entraining more nitrogen into the water. So, and we were also spilling up at Dorshack. So all of that, as we move down the river system, we get more and more nitrogen. So this year we have seen a couple symptoms of it would be considered a level one, which is low. But we did see some symptoms at Lower Granite, which we don't typically see due to the high flows this year. Sorry, Stephen. Go ahead.
So last year at our facility, so research collection, there was 458,051 smolts. There were 9 research projects involved in that and 6 agencies. So we do work with a lot of different people with our facility. It allows them to have access to these fish. Okay, so current juvenile facility projects we have going on. National Marine Fish Service, they have an in-river versus transport smolt study they do. They have a reach survival smolts study they have. They also do migration monitoring of wild spring, summer Chinook, and they have a pit tag sort by code collection that they do. They have specific fish they've tagged upriver, and they want to get those fish collected. So they took samples when they first tagged them. When they get to our facility, they can look at growth, you know, how much have they weight gain, what's their condition, and so on, for specific fish that they have in the system. Idaho Fish and Game, they have a genetic stock identification from the S&P sample we conduct each day. USGS subyearling Chinook pit tag size detection efficiency, so they come out for that. And then we have the Critfic Nez Perce kelp rehabilitation genetic samples, pit tag, and transport. So we collect kelp steelhead as they come down through our system, and then the Nez Perce tribe will send technicians out each day to look at those fish, get samples, and then the fish that meet the requirements they have set, they actually can collect those and transport those up to, I believe the facilities there around Orofino, where they can try to rehabilitate those kelts and get them healthy again so they can be re-released and hopefully spawn once again. So our juvenile bypass upgrade that is currently going on, we are widening the collection channel that's inside the dam itself. We're replacing 10-inch orifices with 14-inch, and that is in the hopes of helping with debris and just passes through those openings. It will reduce the velocity of the water in that channel and come into our system. Our upgrades will also enable us to visually inspect pretty much their whole path down to our facility. Right now it's an underground conduit, basically, is where the water is diverted through with the fish, and with this new system we will be able to visually inspect pretty much that whole path, so that will give us a lot better understanding and allow us to, you know, adapt as we need to that. Provides much better water control through our facility, because we have a pretty good volume of water coming through, and this will allow us to control that in a lot better manner. And it is set to be operational in March of 2018. So our juvenile salmon transport, currently we are barging fish downriver, and as I'd stated earlier, as the season progresses, fish numbers get lower, we will actually use trucks to transport them down. So you can see there the Snake River there on the right, the little orange dot. So we'll collect fish in the barges there. We also stop at Little Goose and at Lower Monumental and get fish that they've collected at those facilities, and then those are barged down below Bonneville Dam, and there's a certain reach area there where we release those fish below the dam. And we have, in the heights of the season, we have 4 tugs that are moving barges we transport every day. We started just recently going to every other day barging. The numbers have dropped down low enough that we don't need to be pushing that many barges downriver. So we'll do every other day barging for a time, and then we'll go into truck transportation for those fish. So early transportation efforts, just threw this in kind of as, you know, cool information. So they did try seaplanes. It worked well, cost prohibitive. So they had trucks they were using, they had the barges that they use, and today we still use barges and we still do the trucking to transport those fish. So we have different capacities. We have 3 different size barges we use. We have the 2,000, 4,000, 8,000 series barges. The gallon capacity, 2,000 is 85,000, 4,000 is 100,000, and the 8,000 series is 150,000. Our inflow, we have 4,000 gallons per minute, or 4,600, excuse me, for the 2,000s, 10,000 for the 4,000s, and 15,000 gallons per minute that we can move in the 8,000s. Our fish pounds that we can transport, the 2,000s is 23,000 pounds, the 4,000s are 50,000 pounds, and the 8,000s are 75,000 pounds. Truck capacities, we have a semi-truck, which is 3,500 gallons. That's 1,750 pounds of fish. Our midi tanker is 300 gallons. That's 150 pounds. And then the mini tank is 150 gallons at 75 pounds of fish. I'm not sure how familiar the commission is on transport, but we look at fish pounds because throughout the year, fish size changes. So you can't really go by size, you know, oh, one fish is this. We go by pounds, not numbers of fish, to determine what we can put in those holds safely.
And that's based on our daily sample. And then at core facilities, we're not hatcheries. We don't rear fish. And we are very conservative about the amount of fish that we put per gallon. So we go 0.5 pounds of fish per gallon of water at our facilities.
Okay, so transport 2016 collection. I don't see our collected number there. So bypassed.
8.4 million
collected. Bypass was a little over 5 million. Barge, 3.3 million. Trucks, 22,000. And then the fallbacks, that's the adult fish we call fallbacks. And was 7,091 fish that adults that actually fell back through our facility. Top right, you can see our 10-year averages for the collected, the bypassed, and the transported. You can see the millions of fish there. So the bottom left is the Snake River Passage and transport summary for wild migrant steelhead. Data is 3/5/24/2015. So current transport predictions 34%. I apologize for this, the numbers being small there. Bottom right, Snake River Passage and transport summary for pit tagged wild run at large yearling Chinook, date 3/5/24/2017. Okay, so here is we're looking more at our adult passage with this slide. You can see the routes where the adult fish can enter the adult fish passage system. And you can see the kind of the, I don't know what you call that, purplish looking color there. That's where they can enter the collection channel, and that will divert them towards the adult ladder. And on the far right, you can see the blue, where it almost looks like stair steps. That is the adult ladder. And that bottom corner down close to the U.S. Army symbol, that's where the adult trap itself is located there.
So in order to get fish into those ladders, into our ladders, it's kind of a challenge because we have all that turbidity going, or not turbidity, we do have that too, but turbulence from the spill and the turbine units. So in order for fish to find the entrances to the ladders, we operate within a certain criteria so we can create an attraction flow. That pink right there, or purpley pink, that represents where we have water being pumped in to increase the elevation in the channel and provide that attraction flow so fish can find their way into the ladder. And then the blue, that water, the darker blue, is actually supplied by a diffuser that's in the forebay, and that'll be talked about a little bit later.
Okay, adult passage. So if you've visit some of the dams that have a viewing window where you can see the fish coming through the ladder. Well, there's a fish count station there located next to that where they actually count the adults as they go through the ladder. And that's where you'll see a lot of the numbers of, you know, so many Chinook pass these facilities. We also have pit tag detection through the ladder itself, so we can detect the adults as they migrate through. And that information is used by, you know, varying agencies so they can track where timing of when their fish are going through, which fish have went through, and where those fish, you know, originated, and different things they can parse out of that data. We have the adult fish trap that is, if you look in that top right picture, that structure with the roof, that is part of that trapping system structure there. There's also been lamprey modification to the facility so lamprey can migrate up that easier. It makes their passage a lot better for them so they can get on up to the headwaters and spawn. Research is, we look at influence of noise and vibration on passage, and influence temperature control system that we have installed that we will talk about here shortly, how that has affected the adult passage through. So adult fish passage, Lower Grand adult fish count schedule is daily April 1st through October 31st, nighttime June 1st through September 31st, video March 1st through the 31st, and November 1st through December 31st. Annual maintenance for the ladder is January 2nd through February 13th. And if you look at the varying graphs there, we're looking at run timing of when these fish are coming through our facility specifically. So you've got the top right is steelhead, the bottom left is sockeye, and the bottom right is the chinook. And you can see the timing of when we have our peaks for that. So for the chinook, the left side would be our springers. The right side would be the fall chinook that come through our facility. So we were talking about the structures used to help regulate the water temperature, because we do have that stratification at Lower Granite. And so we have this new shower that was installed there, and the intakes are down, I can't remember exactly how many feet.
No, it's 70 feet. So there's a chimney system that actually to the right that pulls water from about 70 feet below the surface and then pushes it through the diffuser at the top of the fish ladder. And then the other pumps on the other side that say intake, those pumps pull the water up from 70 feet as well and then push it out through that shower right there, which is right in front of the fish ladder exit. So as that water comes down into the forebay, it diffuses through the water and cools it off and then gives the fish an opportunity to sound once they get out to that colder water than what's on the top of the surface. And that's what it looks like.
So adult trap collection, 2016 total collection was 45,265 fish. Idaho Fish and Game, they sampled 20,325 steelhead, 14,470 spring summer chinook, 205 sockeye, and that was a genetic sample only, which is just a small fin clip for that fish. Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, they are present at that facility August 18th through October 11th. August 18th is when we consider the fall chinook season of the trap begins. That's that start date, so that's why you see that number there. They had 2,603 fall chinook transported to Lions Ferry Hatchery. That's part of the broodstock program that goes on. This first tribe, they are at our site September 22nd through November 4th, and they come out usually, I think it's a daily basis, but they come out to collect broodstock for their Cherry Lane hatchery. And last year they got 960 fall chinook transported to their facility there at Cherry Lane.
Yeah, they actually start in August. I'm sorry about that.
August, okay. Yeah.
August through October, just like WDFW.
So emergency transport operations, some things that we've been able to do in the last few years to kind of help. So we helped with sockeye collection for Idaho Fish and Game in 2015. And then for the Nez Perce tribe, we were able to help with coho collection in 2015 and 2016 just to help them meet their broodstock numbers they needed for those species. So adult trap sampling totals. I apologize for the scales on this. It's a little different. So if you look at, you try to compare the two graphs, you're like, well, those numbers are way different. The scale's a little different. Spring, summer, you look at the number of fish we see is a lot lower. If you can see, our is it steelhead or chinook is our biggest adults migrant-wise, number-wise, that come through the trap in the spring. In the fall, you're going to be looking at steelhead is the largest numbers that they have coming through those facilities. And you can compare numbers. The peak of the spring chinook was around 14,000. And that was in, 2011, I believe. And if you look at steelhead, we're getting up closer to 30,000. So there's a big difference in numbers between the two seasons of what they're seeing there. So fall chinook broodstock hauled. So this is the fall chinook broodstock that has been collected for the Nez Perce tribe and for Lions Ferry Hatchery. And we got 2009 through 2015. You can see the numbers of the total hauled and released, and then the total fish handled during those years.
Excuse me. They were showing the sockeye numbers here, a slide or two back, just so everybody knows. When it was down, and I don't know what would have been in the 80s, it got down to Lonely Larry, and there was like two or three. Conrad Mencken was in charge of that to bring all those back. That was his, and he told me that he ended up with Larry mounted on his wall when they finally were done with it. But he was a former member of our camp.
I've seen Larry go through our nav lock, just so you know. Like a big old boat. They blew up this big old Larry to put him through the nav lock. Anyway.
So at the Lord Granite Fish Trap, you have 16 adult fish trap projects in 2017. NOAA Fisheries is part of that. Idaho Fish and Game, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, Nez Perce Tribe, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, Biomark, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and the Bonneville Power Administration are all agencies that are a part of what's going on at that trap down there.
So I guess, and I just want to kind of lead into the next talk. It's going to be about the Fall Chinook Comp program. And so when they, a lot of the stuff they do actually starts at Lower Granite. So it's a really good resource for that program. So.
Thank you. That was great. I didn't know about Larry, though.
No, right? So the sockeye program, where we did the emergency trapping of sockeye, that was in 2015 when we were talking about all the water temperatures. They got really low. There's a big impact on a lot of different fish species, sturgeon and sockeye. And so we did an emergency trap and haul from there. We collected, I think, 51 fish from Lower Granite to take up to Idaho. What I don't remember which hatchery, but either way, for their program for Redfish Lake sockeye. And then Becky Johnson is here. She does the coho program. And she actually initiated emergency trap and haul of coho last year and the previous year to try to increase the numbers with her program.
Yes. When we were talking about having this commission meeting here, they were asking me for subjects, and this was one. And I just wanted to personally thank you for taking time to come and show everybody what is going on in this part of the world, because it, you look around, it's pretty dry. You don't think of this as being great fish part of the world, but it is. And
yeah,
the efforts that you guys are doing, and there again, it's kind of one of those, a lot of people would like to take the four lower dams out of the snake, but there again, economically, it's a pretty big benefit to this part of the world. And through your guys' work, we're having a win-win situation.
Yeah, I think we as the Corps in Walla Walla District, we do the best that we can to manage fish passage and survival and hydropower. And one of our facilities can basically power a city the size of Portland if we were at max capacity and we had enough flows. So it is a benefit. And also when you think about it, the navigation that goes through there is the most inland port. Clarkston-Lewiston is the most inland port on the West Coast. So a lot of commodities, and I'm a farmer, so a lot of my commodities, you know, go through this system. And so, you know, there's a lot of benefits to the Lower Snake River. And I know people have concerns about it environmentally as well. But right now we're just doing the best that we can, you know, to manage both hydropower, or all of it, hydropower, navigation, and fish. And I think that really all we can do is improve on what we're doing. And we keep working on that every day. So. Thank you for having us. Oh, sorry.
I have a question that occurred to me. The data that you showed was from 2007. I would think because of the stakes involved, the high stakes, the importance of this, that the data would be kept up more currently. That's pretty old, 10 years.
It is. And so what we do is, as we go through the system, because Lower Granite, it's the top dam. So we're the focus, right? Everything starts at Lower Granite and ends at Lower Granite. But as throughout those other years, all the other dams have been looked at. So they've been doing the passage studies through the other projects. And then anytime there's a modification in a facility, of course, we're going to do a passage study. So Lower Granite, there's a lot going on right now. And as we go through different modifications, it's going to be a little bit challenging to get good numbers. So I think in 2008 or probably 2019 or 18, or 19, where, you know, once that primary bypass is put in, we'll do another study and hopefully we'll get some better results.
Well, we're only a few minutes off schedule, so thank you. And we will break for lunch now, and we can. What?
Department.
You can maybe even set your time. timer, and I think I can be done in
okay.
a few
minutes. Okay. What is this?
This is
oh, okay. Oh, I see. Yeah. It doesn't say that.
It's Steve added there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is all Steve's fault.
Okay.
So, my name is Joe Bumgarner. I'm with Water Department of Wildlife, and I work out of the Dayton office, which is the Snake River Lab. I'm the project leader for the hatchery monitoring and evaluations program under the Lower Snake River Comp program, which you're going to hear about more after lunch. Steve thought this would be just a good opportunity to talk about Washington's involvement in fish passage type issues. And between Steve and Chris Donnelly and myself, I got elected just because I think I'm more local and I understand a little bit more. But really what I'll probably just show here over the next couple slides is just our role, which got mentioned in the core talk about how we do some stuff up at Lower Granite for either some studies or adult trapping broodstock at Lions Ferry. But really, a lot of Washington's role, I think, is really more of a coordination. We have folks that are involved with the Corps, the other agencies, about actions that are occurring at the dams for fish passage, whether it's adults or juveniles, and it's really more of a coordination. And we've got agency staff in Olympia that actually are probably way more involved than I am, or Steve, or Chris, and they keep us informed. They reach out to us quite frequently if it may be something they feel may affect fish we have, you know, within the state of Washington or from other programs and stuff. So with that, I'll move on real quick. These are, like I said, going to be really fast. So we do have agency staff from a system-wide kind of standpoint, not just the four lower snake dams, but all the way down to the Columbia and the upper Columbia that deal with dam issues. And like I said, they're involved with all the federal agencies, tribal agencies, other state agencies in either committees or forums to talk about actions that may be occurring at the dams. And like I said, passing that information on to maybe local staff, myself, other staff included that I work with, just to keep us up to date with what's going on, whether it's conditions in the river, issues at the dam that might affect, you know, passage for adults or juveniles and whatnot. And one of the main guys to really keep going here, he's a great guy to work with, is Charlie Morrell with our department over in Olympia. He's probably my main contact. I probably talk with Charlie about once a month. Brings me issues or asks me questions, asks for data, the stuff that we might have that may help inform him with decisions. Beyond that, locally, within the Snake River Lab and my office and our fish management office, some list of folks here, a lot of them work under me. Some of them are in the fish management office. And a lot of this stuff was covered already under the previous talk. But some things that I get involved in are approving adult trap rates. It's kind of a joint agency collaboration effort where the adult trapping up at Lower Granite gets decided on, like, what's trap rate going to be to meet everybody's research needs, monitoring needs, whatnot. I'm kind of a member that got elected to that to help inform that decision-making process. As was brought up before, we collect our fall Chinook broodstock for Lions Ferry and Nesperus Tribal hatchery as well occurs there, and so there's a lot of coordination that goes along with that. There's scientific collector permits that come through our fish management office that have to get approved, and so Jeremy Trump in our Dayton office takes care of a lot of that stuff. So we're all kind of, you know, brought up to speed, but like I said, it's not just us, obviously. We talk with folks from Idaho and Oregon and the Nez Perce and the Umatilla tribe and everybody else, and everything kind of gets shared, coordinated. Lots of reports go out from the Corps office on studies like you saw on survival type things. We're all made aware of that, so we're all well informed and stuff. From the fish passage for smolt monitoring type stuff, again, we kind of get involved, but again, it's really Charlie. Charlie's really involved in the smolt monitoring type stuff and keeps us up to speed. So I guess that's the real quick overview. See, I'm done. So we can go to lunch.
I better ask, am I missing anything else? Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, that was. Yeah. Is Jeremy and Ace, are they related?
They're cousins. Yeah, I know. It's kind of strange.
No further comment. Thank you.